My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Start some trouble and call the fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Alrighty, 12:02 back on the fans. PT and Sal. Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata Show. Back to the Coles in a moment. Right now, we drop the crown, the top story of the day. Certainly not what we wanted. Maybe a little what we expected to an extent in terms of a loss. Didn't expect the defense to get mushed around like that. But I went to bed last night and I felt the exact opposite of how I felt last year. After week one, when I went to sleep, despite the win, despite the unkillable thing the next day, I mean, there was rawness. There was, you know, almost on some level, even though I didn't project it on the air the next day, a level of acceptance inwardly that I was fighting that the season was over. And I feel the exact opposite right now. And I felt the exact opposite last night. I watched the Jets. Yeah, they were rusty. Yeah, that doesn't help when Lazard drops a third down pass in the first drive, which maybe keeps the Jets on the field for 5 minutes and maybe they score a touchdown, or Breece Hall getting that ball banged out by Warner, who's amazing. The New York Jets offense is going to be very good. Aaron Rodgers can still play. He's got the mind. He's got the arm still. The Jets have enough weapons. The head coach tightened up this defense. The Jets might very well rip all 3, 4, 5 straight wins. They will be better than fine. The Jets will be a playoff team.
Look, they have some work to do. The number one takeaway for me last night is that they have a quarterback. The New York Jets finally have a quarterback. And it may sound like a simple statement, but that means everything. Think about where we've been with this franchise year after year after year. You heard Aikman. I mean, you didn't need Aikman to tell you. We've all watched it, but you heard Aikman say it last night. You talk about a franchise that's had historically bad quarterback play the last several seasons, like in the entirety of the league, not just their franchise, to go from that to one of the greats to ever suit up, and maybe the greatest quarterback of all time to ever suit up in Aaron Rodgers, and to see him out there healthy, firing the ball all over the field. I mean, was it vintage Aaron Rodgers performance? No, but you saw signs that it's going to be at some point, even coming off the injury, even at age 40. Yeah, a little rust here or there, but the fact that the New York Jets have a quarterback, you felt like they had a chance, even with the 49ers running the football down their throat. When you have number 8 as your quarterback, you're going to be in all the games. Salah says the defense needs to be fixed. I believe he's going to fix it. He has to fix it. It was a problem. They got embarrassed. They got abused last night by the Niners. But the fact that they have number 8 quarterbacking for them, BT, to me, that means the world. It means that the Jets will be competitive as long as he stays healthy this season.
It changes everything. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal here on the Fan inside of our Town Fair Tire Studio. Friends of Town Fair remind you that you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Now, I understood, before we get back to these phones here, it is a bottom line business, right? Did you win or did you lose? That's all that matters. But if you at least go a layer or a tier below that for a moment, yeah, and don't just look at the standings and see all the other teams 1-0 and the Jets 0-1. Did you watch most of that Buffalo Bills game? They easily could have had a loss hung on them by a team that came from 3,000 miles away and it really isn't that good in Arizona. You know, the Patriots, forget about them. The Jets are going to mop them twice. The Patriots stink. I'm not worried about them. And Miami, who's obviously very talented, and the Bills are tough too. But the Bills, the Dolphins almost lost to the Jaguars. So week one is weird, just like we probably shouldn't overreact to last year to the win against Buffalo. If you choose to overreact to the loss last night, that's fine. I'm not going to tell you not to, but I am going to tell you this. Everything that I projected during the summer, the Jets have a chance to win this division, a good chance. Matter of fact, I believe that they will. The Jets will soar past the projected win total of 9.5. I believe that. And the Jets will be in the playoffs with a puncher's chance to go far. I still believe that. Undeterred in that department, well,
see, those are things that I'm going to disagree with you. I think last night the main takeaway was Aaron Rodgers, and he gives them a chance. The other stuff they have to actually prove. They have not proven anything, and yet we've talked about like there's some Super Bowl team. I mean, you know, we don't need to reference last year, but even after week one last year, it was, come on, you knew the season was over. I know a lot of people didn't want to believe it, but this is a different story. It's not the same old Jets because of Aaron Rodgers. Now, from there, you go from, okay, well, what will this team be? Well, they have to prove themselves, whether it's Garrett Wilson, whether it's Breece Hall, whether it's Robert Saleh, whether it's the defense. And there are reasons to believe that they can to a certain extent, but you did see a team last night in week one that is a Super Bowl team in the 49ers mop the floor with them. So there are ways to go before we start talking about this team. And even in the division, like you gotta give the Bills some respect. Miami, those teams have been building their way up. They've been there. The Jets haven't been close to it.
Dolphins
yet.
Get to the Super Bowl that I missed?
No, I'm talking
I'm saying, did the Bills get to the Super Bowl that I missed?
No, I'm talking about the playoffs.
I understand. The Jets beat the Bills once every single year.
Well, time out a second.
Josh Allen never plays time out a second. Against the Jets.
Time out a second. How many times have the Bills won the division in recent years?
Two?
How many years in a row have the Bills been in the playoffs?
Oh, I understand that there's a massive disparity.
Oh, but that's my point. So, like, these teams, and you can say that the Bills window is closed. I'm not believing that.
I'm not saying it's fully shut.
But
no, I'm not saying that.
They've been building towards something, and they're in the midst of it.
They are.
The Miami Dolphins have been building it, starting ahead of where the Jets started building it, which is now for the Jets, unfortunately, because of the injury last year. Miami made the playoffs a year ago. The Jets haven't sniffed the playoffs in 14 years.
Nobody understands that more than me. Right. Trust me. I get it. I've absorbed all these losses. Painful, unwatchable. Right. Sometimes I've even bet against them. Times have been so bleak over the years, you know, rooting for losses to get better draft picks. Trust me, the history stinks. Looking at this roster, and this is what I always based it on, Sal. And again, now it's got to come to fruition. And if not, there's going to be massive problems.
Right.
But I just look at their roster, and I do believe eventually the Reddick stuff gets resolved. And I do believe eventually Mike Williams becomes a real player in this offense. Mm-hmm. And Breece Hall's not putting him on the turf. And all the other things that happen aren't going to happen negatively too often. And I think the Jets will win games. And we'll see.
Understood. All I'm saying is it's hard to go from 0 to 100.
But they weren't 0 last year. If they had a quarterback, they would have been a 10 or 11. Their defense was a 1. They had one of the best defenses in football, Sal.
No, I disagree with that.
No, what do you mean no? Look at the stats.
I don't care about the stats.
Oh, so you don't care about the stats?
No, I don't care about the games.
So if a guy's hitting 279, is he hitting 279 or do the stats not matter to Sal?
I think it matters.
You are what you are.
What's Lindor hitting?
At 270 maybe?
Okay, but he's been hitting like a guy that's been hitting 330 for the last 3 months, so then those numbers don't say everything, do they?
Well, they don't say everything, but they tell you that he's hitting 270. Literally.
But he was awful the first 2 months.
I understand that.
So that's my point. I've watched this defense play. They're not a great defense. They also have to prove themselves.
They kept them in the games every week last year. Without a defense, the Jets would have been the Panthers this Sunday. They'd be losing 38-3 every week.
I've seen actual great defenses with no quarterback and a bad offense get to
such
the postseason. Teams have done it before. The Ravens won.
Trent Dilfer. I got it. Different NFL. Right. Okay. You could do it back then.
Okay.
Well,
could this great defense win 8 games? Is that too much to ask?
I listen.
How about last night? What happened to this great defense?
No, last night they got gassed.
Okay, but I'm saying that
that's the anomaly so far with this unit.
So clearly they've got to learn. They've got to become a great defense.
But they were a great defense last year.
Oh, I just disagree. I don't think they were a great defense. I mean, did they get to the quarterback last year?
They were top 5 in everything.
The Jets wreaked havoc last year defensively.
Look at their passing. Just look at the stats.
They created turnovers last year.
Look at the stats.
Oh, I don't, BT, I watch the games. I don't want to watch the stats. So
you don't think the defense was really good last year?
I think it was good. I don't think it was great.
Name 5 better.
I don't think.
You watched the red zone. Give me 5 better defense than the Jets.
I don't watch the red zone. I watched
the last year you did.
The Cleveland Browns were better.
Last year?
Yeah.
Okay, who else? That's one.
I think Dallas was better than the Jets last year. That's two off the top of my head.
You think or you know?
Yeah.
Because I know that the Jets statistically were a great defense. I know that.
Look this stat up. When was the last time the Jets snipped the playoffs?
That's not what we're talking about. I mean, but that's not the conversation.
Oh, they're a great defense. What do you mean? It is the conversation.
It's not the conversation.
No, you want to pull out stats. You're talking about. So all I'm saying is we got to calm down before we go from 0 to 100 with this team. You said great defense, and I could. You want to go to last year? I'll give you examples. I don't have the time to look at it, but we can do that if you like.
What did the defense do to Josh Allen in week one last year?
Congratulations.
What they do? They abused him.
Right.
And they beat him.
As Robert Saleh said, they shut down all the quarterbacks, right? Until they didn't. If they're that good, then they would have won. They would have been in the playoffs. And by the way, let's forget about last year. This great defense, how'd they look last night? That's how a great defense looked? And I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt. They got steamrolled and abused.
I'm not pushing back on that.
Okay,
but that's the anomaly, and that until it shows that it's not fixed, they've earned that doubt.
Right,
that benefit.
We talk about this team like, oh, great defense and great this and great that. Breece Hall's the best running back we've ever seen. Garrett Wilson's going to be the best wide receiver we've ever seen. The defense is the greatest in the league right now. Go back to it. They're not. They're not. They haven't been. They've proven squat. That's all that I'm saying. I believe in Rodgers. I want to be positive today.
Mm-hmm.
I can't take the Super Bowl talk when a team that actually has been in the damn Super Bowl for years steamrolled them last night. Like, abused them last night. And the head coach said, quote, it's not a problem. I'll fix it. Good. Then go fix it. Like, they were not, to me, a great defense. I don't care what the stats say. I watched it. Stats could be misleading. They close out games last year.
They had no games to close out, Sal.
Yeah.
You can't close out a game if you don't have a lead.
Yeah.
See it differently. Watching the Jets last year, the only reason they had a chance to compete was because of the defense. Now, if the defense takes a massive step back, that's a different discussion. I don't think that it will, but they got a lot to prove starting week two in Tennessee. Let's go to Pete and Seaford, BT and Sal. Pete, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
You know, I do think there's a lot of good things to take away. PFF put out their grade. They had Rodgers graded out as like the fifth best quarterback from week one, which I thought my eyes showed me that, even if the stats weren't overwhelming. I don't think that interception was his fault. Obviously, Hall turning the ball over wasn't his fault. You guys touched on this earlier in terms of the Jets' young studs, and this is the reason I called. You know, you guys touched on Garrett Wilson needing to get his second foot in bounds there on a crucial first down. To keep the Jets really in the game. That play functionally ended the game. Any chance of the Jets coming back? Breece Hall fumbles the ball. Here's my problem with Breece Hall. When healthy, right, and you want to talk about the offensive line, fine. What I see from Breece Hall is a home run hitter with a 200 batting average. I don't see a guy that can consistently get you 4 to 5 yards a carry.
Mm.
I don't see a guy that you can use the run to set up the pass, which is what the Jets came out last night trying to do. And I know he's explosive. He's as explosive as any guy in the league. But I just haven't seen a guy that can get you, that can win you games in the trenches consistently. Sauce Gardner, I don't know what happened to him last night. He had a really good game in pass coverage. You guys talked about he looked like he had like a little bit of a shoulder thing coming off of that open field tackle early in the game.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden he's on the sideline. And, you know, I'd have to go back and look at the All-22 video. Do you guys think that Sauce made maybe some business decisions on some of those running plays and
well,
Saleh?
No,
if you're not going to tackle, you're on the sideline?
Because I don't think that Saleh's got the stones to do that, quite frankly. I don't. And if he does, then I'm wrong. I think what Sauce Gardner's got to eventually do is get his ass in a weight room, put on 8 or 10 pounds of functional weight, and learn how to tackle. That's one thing Sauce Gardner's got to do. Because he's skin and bones, man, and he is phenomenal instinctually, pass coverage, no doubt. When he tries to tackle, he stinks as a tackler. There's nothing to him, and he tries to arm tackle. He don't know how to tackle.
Well, I mean, you know, usually cornerbacks are not going to be great tacklers, but you'd like to see that from a guy who's talked about as being the best cornerback.
Yeah, for sure. DJ Reed sticks his nose in there a little bit.
Yeah, I like
DJ. He's the other corner.
Look, the Jets have the talent. They just actually have to go out there and do it. The biggest excuse for this defense has been, well, the offense gives them nothing to work with. Well, that was not the case last night. So, I mean, if we're going to go off the most recent example, last night, this big, bad, great defense did nothing. Now, they've got to get that corrected. It's week one. I'm not going to overreact to that. And it was the 49ers. But they, for the Jets to be successful, actually have to be a top three, not even top five, which I don't believe that they've been. And you can come up with the excuse, well, they're on the field the whole time, this and that, the stupid penalties. Hey, that's all part of it. For me, I have not seen this great defense live up to that hype. And we certainly didn't see anything close to that last night where they weren't even a good defense. Again, I think it was more about the Niners being good.
Yeah.
And that the Jets showed signs of being a great defense. But as the coach said, he's got to fix it. And they have to fix that starting with Sunday. You get less than a week to figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, they have to. I mean, if they don't, they will. There's no option at this point. So the thing that just is very... As much as I'm defending the Jets defense from a year ago,
right.
It's on to a new season. So last year doesn't matter at this point.
Right.
But I know I told you the stat earlier. I got to reiterate this for those who haven't heard this. 51 plays at one point. Jets score a touchdown. They lead 7-3. Think about how you felt going to that commercial. Wow. They show Rodgers pointing his finger, the Jets logo, which looks awesome. Like, you're pumped. You're like, all right, game on. We're here for four quarters. Go to work, defense. The next 51 snaps, the 49ers were on the field offensively 44 of the 51.
And it took the defense out of the game, obviously. It took the fun out of the game for me because I'm like, all right, here we go. This defense now playing with a lead. And instead of stealing that momentum, the Niners just methodically mushed the football down the Jets' face and chewed the clock up, shortened the game, and just abused that defense.
They
was bad.
They did. Let's go to Natural Body. Steve's been hanging out a while. Howard Beach, Steve, what's happening, buddy?
Hey, you're setting yourself up for a massive disappointment this season. You're talking like a fan. The 49ers danced in Jet territory all night. That was not a great defense. Tell me one part of the Jets' entire offense, defense, and special teams plan that was impressive last night.
But Steve, hold on. Steve, first of all, I mean, I'm not talking like a fan because I think objectively speaking, I'm not alone. Like, there's a reason why. Now, I don't know if it's going to come to fruition. There's a reason why the win total was fairly high out of Vegas. There's a reason why a lot of people, I'm sure a lot of people that you respect, other shows, whatever, you know, that just cover the NFL exclusively, you know, think the Jets could get to the Super Bowl or at least win a division. Like, I'm not alone, man. I'm not sitting here saying that, you know. Go ahead.
No,
finish up.
This game is just a year full of what if, should have, could have, would have, and now overhyped analysis. And I'm telling you, the Jets have their work cut out for them.
I understand
that. Baltimore, Kansas City, Miami, Buffalo. The AFC is loaded with good teams, and the Jets are going to be very hard pressed to make the playoffs.
Right, listen, they never make the playoffs, so they're always fairly hard pressed here, Steve. Understood. You listen, now he's a Dolphins fan. You know Stevie.
Yes.
Stevie's a Dolphins fan.
Big football fan, but he's a big Dolphins fan.
Yep, and I'm going to give him credit and say that he's objective there. And he says Dolphins bias isn't creeping in. But so you answer this rather than I answer this.
Yep.
You think they beat the Titans on Sunday?
I think they better not only beat the Titans, they better maul the Titans.
So that's
what
the
Titans did in week one.
So you think that they do? Okay.
Yes, I do.
You'll be at the game. I might join you. I got to see what's happening at the house. Do you think that they beat the Pats the following week at MetLife Thursday night? Yes or no?
Again, should not just be a win. It should be a steamroll situation. And I do think that will be the case.
The next game, do you think that they beat the Denver Broncos, who looked a little better than we thought, even though they lost by 6, 26-20? The game's here. Do you think that the Jets beat the Denver Broncos, who were coming across the country with no quarterback?
Yeah.
Do you think the Jets win that game, yes or no?
They should. I'm not sold on it, but yes, they should win that game.
So I agree.
I like Denver this year. I think they'd be better, but whatever.
All right, listen. I still think
How about this? Forget about what we think is going to happen.
Yeah.
What do you think the point spreads are going to be? You already said
I can tell you the Jets are -4 against Tennessee.
On the road.
Which is
a big deal, as it should be.
-4.
What do you think is going to be home against New England?
If they win, I'm going to give you two options.
Yeah, yeah.
If the Jets win 30-10, which they could.
Might be a double digit.
No, eight and a half. I don't think it'll be double digit.
They're going to be at least a touchdown favorite against New England.
No doubt about that.
And maybe against Denver at 6-5.
Maybe
like
4.5, okay. Maybe 5, depending on how Denver looks next couple of weeks here. But the bottom line is we're kind of saying the same thing. The Jets should win the next three. And I don't want to keep going down the list. Should they beat the Vikings in London? Yeah, they probably should. They'll be slightly favored. Could they beat the Buffalo Bills at home? Yeah, they usually do. Probably split with them. Like, there are wins that are coming.
Correct.
And if they don't, and you're going to have to put me in rubber room.
And all I'm saying is I just need to see it. Like, yeah you could ask, what do I think is going to happen? And that's fine. I also thought the Jets would be good last year until Rodgers went down.
Yeah.
But you're right. This is a new year. And based off of what I saw last night, I did not expect them to beat the 49ers. Now, I also would have liked to have seen the defense play a little bit better.
Me too.
A more competitive game. But I'm going to chalk it up to the Niners are just at a different level right now. And it's week one where a lot of teams are on the league are rusty, outside of maybe the elite teams like the Niners or the Chiefs.
Oh.
But moving forward, I do believe in this team. I just need to see it, especially against Buffalo, Miami, all that stuff. Before we start talking division or Super Bowl.
Blind faith in the Jets is probably the most hollow investment you could possibly make. You know, maybe last year was a little blind on my part with Zach finding a way to squeeze out some. This is not. This is at least rooted in the reality of a good roster.
You had to regenerate it. Otherwise,
I had no choice.
Week one, four plays in, you're going to call it. I couldn't tap out.
Yeah. You know, whatever. But okay, so very quickly, 30 seconds, same game with the Giants. I know this is a Jet thing, but you'll see my point.
I don't have the confidence in the Giants.
Do you think that they beat the Commanders this weekend?
I actually do. Now, if they don't put a fork in them.
Okay, agreed. 50, flip a coin? Not as confident as we are as the Jets beating the Titans.
Correct.
Okay. Do you think they win at Cleveland? Cleveland didn't look good against Dallas, but you think they win that game?
But again, not confident, but they have a shot.
You think they beat Dallas at home?
No.
Do you think they win at Seattle?
I mean, it would take a miracle to beat. It would take something unforeseen to beat Dallas at home.
Do you think they win at Seattle?
I think they have a chance. Punchers. I don't think Seattle's very good, but probably not.
You think they beat the Bengals at home? You know, Jamar Chase,
T. Higgins,
all that stuff will be resolved at that point.
I mean, look, if the Giants are what I think they're supposed to be, a well-coached team that should keep games close, then just like I didn't think in 2022 against some of the matchups that they had, specifically Green Bay, I thought maybe that was going to be their comeuppance in London, I think that game was.
It was.
You know, and they played a lot of teams tight and close that year, winning some of those games. So, you know, Baltimore, I didn't think they'd beat Baltimore that week. Didn't they have
that was at the Metal Isles. Yeah, that was at MetLife. That was a good win. Right. That was a good win, definitely.
So they had I think that's their best chance is that a well-coached team keeps them in games and makes the other team make a mistake and they take advantage of it. But again, I actually need to see it. I can't just go based off of blind faith when we saw them get rolled in week one at home against the crappy Vikings.
Man, it's time to get some wins here, both teams. It's early, but it could get late quick, which I don't think it will. Not for the Jets. Giants, I am a little less, confident. You know, just for the
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
The reasons that we've talked about coming in.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
And the ball game's over, and the Giants have won Super Bowl 46.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Josie Mike's Yankees box office blitz on The Fan. We've got a pair of field level tickets to see the Bronx Bombers take on Pittsburgh. Those Pirates, the Buccos at the stadium coming up on Friday, September 27th right now. Caller number 10 gets you in, 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326. And it's your chance to win. It's all from Jersey Mike's, the official sub sandwich shop of the currently first place in the American League East, New York Yankees, up a game and a half on the O's. And The Fan Listen again tomorrow. Another chance to win with BT and Sal. So we'll get back to these calls. 888-808-1019 is our number. We got you till 2. Then it's Evan and Tiki coming up after us. Manning cast. I did not watch it. Certainly not during a Jets game. I have watched it. I do enjoy it sometimes. Sometimes they yuck it up a little bit too much, whatever. I did see that Belichick was on. I did see that on social media. You actually watched it. You had to get something off your chest. What happened?
Yes. Well, I didn't watch the whole thing. As a matter of fact, I forgot it existed because, like you, now I love the Mannings and they're fun, but when I want to watch a game, especially if it's the Jets. I'm not messing around with the Manning cast. But my friends in a group chat, both Jet fans, saying, Sal, Sandler's going to be on. Now, you know I love the Sandman.
Yes.
So I was like, all right. And it was
the
third quarter by that point.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right. You know, and you felt like the game was starting to slip away at the very least. So I was like, let me throw on the Sandman. And it's such an awkward spot with the Manning cast because there's a delay. So you have three guys talking at once with the delay while the football game is going on.
Yes.
So it can be entertaining, but also could be like choppy. Now, here I love Sandler, and I'm not trying to start any issue or beef with Sandler the way that it happened with Kevin James many years ago while I was down in the minors. They were, the Mannings were talking to Sandler about like his Jet fandom and what do you think about the Jets this year?
Yeah, he always reps it in the movies, as we know.
Which
so.
He does. And I do believe like he's a Jet fan, meaning like he roots for them, you know, from afar with his hat on, with his shirt on, he'll give them a pop. And I really do, he grew up a Jet fan and does love them. He had no clue as to what was going on.
No way.
Dude, I'm telling
you. Was he high?
No, he was perfectly normal, perfectly nice, lovable as usual.
Okay.
He's just not, like, they kept asking him, oh, what do you think about this, you know, this Jets defense? Like, oh, well, what happened there, guys? Or what do you think? You know, he had a very minimal surface understanding of what goes on with the Jets. Now, again, this is not a criticism of the Sandman. It's just, When these stars are built as fans, now this is what we do. We're lunatics. We're nutjob fans. I get it. And I wouldn't know anything about comedy or anything like that. Like, oh, yeah, I know about some movies and some actors, but like I'm not a expert at that. But sports is what we do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's tough for me to sit there and watch, whether it was years ago, Kevin James billed as a diehard Mets fan, which I know he is. To an extent, or Sandler being built as, oh, you're a diehard Jets fan, you're a Jets fan, tell us about it. And he just, or even David Stearns, oh, you grew up a Met fan, who's your favorite Met? And he have like a good, you know what I'm saying?
Taking everybody into consideration today.
Well,
huh?
I'm not trying to bury people.
Mm-hmm.
And I
try
love
to get
Sandman.
A little separation from the real ones and the kind of real ones.
Well, I guarantee you that anybody who was an actual Jet fan that watched Sandler with the Manning cast last night, while loving Sandler, and I watched his new special on Netflix. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Can't wait for Happy Gilmore, too. I love Sandler. Like, you can't be more.
By the way, my family might be in Happy Gilmore, too.
How?
They went as extras in New Jersey before school started. Yeah, Janet, like, some
really?
Of the moms. I swear to God, some of the moms in town saw it. They're like, yeah, let's date the kids.
I wish I knew about that. I would have taken off.
They might be in the movie.
I'd love to have been in a Happy Gilmore. That'd be a dream.
So if they're in the movie, I'll have Colt go up to him and say, hey, Uncle Sal was saying you're not a real Jets fan. And, you know, I know my son is a real Jets fan. They can flush it out.
This is why I don't want any beef with the Sandman. I mean, Mike was in one of his movies. You never know what could happen down the road.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
When I tell you I love, I told you I dressed up as the wedding singer. My mother was the water boy. We went to see him in concert. So this is not, it's not a knock on Sandler at all.
My mother was the water boy. Only one person, you.
The Mannings were asking him to explain like where he's at as a Jets fan, and he
couldn't do it.
He didn't have
it. So basically when the Jets were losing, you know, 20-6, he wasn't watching Zach Wilson.
I don't know. He might have been watching it, but just not. Like,
all right, how about this? How about at some point today, I'll find the segment on YouTube.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see what you think.
And I'm going to compare notes a little bit tomorrow.
Yeah, because I'd be looking to any excuse I could make for Sandler, I would do it. That's how much I love him.
I got you.
And by the way, I'm not knocking him. I'm more knocking Mannings, who then kept going back to the well. All right, Adam, what do you think of your Jets? He's a mega superstar who happened to grow up rooting for a team, but doesn't. Like, have that diehard fandom.
He's not all in, is what you're saying.
Well, I mean, is
that what you're saying?
I'm knocking him.
I know you're not knocking him, but are you saying he's not all in?
He's not. I'm saying he's not a.
Is he all in?
I put it this way. I don't think Sandler's going to be glued to his TV on Sunday watching the Jets take on the Titans at 1. I'd be shocked if he even knows who the Jets are playing Sunday.
Wow. Yeah. Well, the deeper we get, the less respect you show here.
It's not a knock. I'm just saying, like, you got to watch the segment.
I'm going to watch it for you. I promise. I'm absolutely going to watch it. Mike's in Brooklyn, BT and Sal. Mike, what's going on?
What's up, fellas?
Hey, Mike.
Taking a call.
What's up, Mike?
Yeah, I first of all, just because there was a little confusion, it was reported on SNY that Sauce Gardner got the wind knocked out of him. So that's why he was out for a few plays.
Okay.
Okay.
And BT, by the way, I didn't get a chance to tell you, but I really enjoyed you for the couple of games with the Yankees. I hope that happens again.
I appreciate that, Mike. It was an honor. I had a blast. Thank you, buddy. Thank you.
I was going to say, it sounded like it. It sounded like you had a lot of fun. But, you know, when the Yankees are rolling, it's easy to, maybe. But, yeah. The question is, how do we close the gap? There's so many gaps, right? Hassan Reddick, how is he going to close the gap between all the 5 million plus 800,000 every game that he misses? How's he going to close the gap, even if it's a long-term deal?
Don't know.
The more important one is, how are we going to close the gap with our coaching? There's just no way that we're going to actually win anything with subpar coaching. And I want to bring people back. I know I bang the drum over and over, but time is, you know, slipping by this year. Earlier in the year, the Athletic had their postmortem on last year for the Jets. And it just, if you're Woody Johnson or his people, how do you read that and have any confidence in the coaching?
Well, I mean, listen, Mike, you brought him back. Yeah, Mike, yeah, he brought him back. Thanks for the call, a little late. He brought him back.
They're here. So forget
you
last
got
year.
To.
Yeah. And by the way, it's 1 week. You don't want to overreact to it. I get your concerns about it. Mm. Let's see what they do week two.
Yeah. And if they don't bounce back, that's a very different discussion. I fully expect that they will. I think the Jets mop them. That's what I expect. I expect a rout.
Which is nice to know that you expect that. If Rodgers weren't there, we would not be expecting that. Even
no, we'd be hoping for a win.
Right.
You know, as narrow as it
is. Hoping you could be competitive in the game. No, they should mop them. I think there were enough signs, even in an ugly performance from the defense last night and a not great performance by the offense, there were enough signs and reason to believe that this team has multiple gears to kick it into.
Talk New York sports on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, BT and Sal back on The Fan. This is going to be a treat every single week. This guy does what most of us are incapable of doing. I mean, even if we sat down and tried to scour the film and decipher what's happening, we couldn't do it like him, that's for sure. We're joined by Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger, the host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider Calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day be delicious. Hey, Baldy, it's BT and Sal. What's going on, buddy?
I'm doing great, guys. It's good to be with you. Just doing what I do here. I'm just kind of breaking these games down, so going through the league and what happened this weekend.
Yeah, well, at least you're not on the bench press rack or trying to, put a car, squat a car.
No.
All right, so we'll get to the Giants, but let's start with last night here. The play calling, let me start with that. The play calling that the Jets had early when the game was still very much a game. Was it what you expected? What did you see with that, Baldy?
Well, they couldn't run the ball. They were terrible. They were terrible inside. I mean, just the run blocking was not crisp. They didn't move the line of scrimmage. So, you know, Breece Hall didn't have much space. So that's the first thing. Because I thought they would at least be able to, because I didn't think the defensive line of the 49ers was great, but they were so much better than the Jets. So that's the first thing. And then, you know, secondly, I mean, you know, you drop a pass, you fumble a ball. I mean, you drop a pass and fumble a ball in the first four plays of the game, you have two terrible plays. So you don't convert a third down, and then you give up the ball, on the fourth play of the game. Like, that's a bad start for any team right there. So you're just trying to find a rhythm. And then finally, in the third possession, you know, Aaron was really crisp to Garrett Wilson, and they kind of marched down the field, and they got themselves a score and got back into the game.
Would you make of Aaron Rodgers' performance, Baldy, being back at it, off the Achilles last year at age 40? How'd you think he looked overall after breaking down the film?
He had a lot of good throws. I mean, he had good throws to Garrett and to Lazard. Three good throws to Lazard, one for the touchdown with the offsides, the free play. They were elite. I thought he was a little late with some. And look, he at times when he's got to scramble and move, he kind of looks like he's 40. And I think he would probably admit that right now. And so the movement that he once had, probably isn't there yet. It might get better. I mean, it's just the first real action he's had. So I would think that he's got to kind of still work through some things from that Achilles tear of a year ago.
Yep.
So I think that will get better. But, you know, at times when he's got to, you know, spin and get away from the rush, it doesn't, you know, he looks his age at sometimes.
Yeah, I noticed that a little bit as well. Even on some of those handoffs where he's got to really stretch it out, he's a little, I don't know if reluctant or just, you know, half a step slower. I thought that was fairly noticeable, even to us who didn't play the game at that level. Boldy, like watching the game, I'm going to ask you to kind of forget what you know, which is hard. But if you didn't know Shanahan's reputation, if you didn't know anything about Robert Saleh's track record as head coach of the Jets, like just delete that from your memory chip here. Watching the game live, watching the film, were the Jets thoroughly outcoached last night?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, it's checkers in chess. I mean, it really is. It's an old cliche, but yes. I mean, there's nothing that the Jets tried to do or really could have done that Shanahan wasn't prepared for. He was so far ahead of anything they're doing defensively. I mean, you know, it's just, you know, they've got two good rushers there. Everybody else is just a guy. So you've got, you know, you got Quinnen and you've got Jermaine Johnson. That's the only two legitimate pass rushers. They had an answer for both those guys all afternoon long. They tried to get Quinnen freed up one-on-one with the rookie guard, Dominic Booney, who's up to the task at times. But what Shanahan does offensively versus what the Jets, Ulbrich, and in the center, Knock, it's just they don't have the talent. The talent isn't quite as good as I think what people think, especially without Hassan Reddick, because you got to have three rushers. But, Shanahan, like, he's amazing at what he is able to create and how he's able to scheme in the run game and in the pass game.
Well, Baldy, Saleh himself said, and look, he's a defensive guy. We know he's not going to go anywhere near the offense, and he's not capable of it, nor do we want him to with Aaron Rodgers here. But he said, what we saw last night defensively, it's not a problem. We'll fix it. Do you see it the same way? Was this more just about the Niners being dominant, or do the Jets have a problem defensively?
Well, I think they have a problem. I mean, you know, last year they had Bryce Huff as a third rusher. And when they got into certain situations where it was time to, like, pin your ears back and get after a quarterback, all right, Quinnen inside, Jermaine, Huff, that was pretty good. They don't have a third guy right now. Clemens isn't that guy. Will McDonald is invisible. You know, Saleh is just a rotation guy. Javon Kinlaw is a rotation guy. They got Braden McGregor out there going up against Trent Williams. That's not a fair fight. I mean, they don't have a third guy right now. So you could say, well, we could fix it. Okay, you're not going to see Shanahan's offense every week. That's true. You know, but, you know, Sean McVay, there's a bunch of guys out there that can run good offenses in this business that I think would give the Jets a hard time. Mm. I mean, they were lucky, you would think, you know, pregame, okay, McCaffrey's not playing. You're thinking, okay, this could be good for the Jets. And, you know, Jordan Mason goes for 147, and he made it look easy.
He did. He ran hard. Insider Calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. We're chatting with our buddy Brian Baldinger all football season here on the show, BT and Sal. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Well, I guess before we throw a little Giant stuff on the fire here, the only way it sounds like you think it's going to be fixed, maybe not fully, but fixed more than it is when Reddick gets in the building. I mean, you know how it works with contracts and accruing time and everything that they fines. What's going to happen with Reddick?
Well, I don't. You know, look, this is a standstill. I mean, I don't think Joe Douglas is going to cave. I just don't. Maybe last night might make him, but even if you get him in, I mean, they haven't seen him since they signed him in March, so or whenever it was. So I don't know what kind of. Nobody knows what kind of shape he's in. Not many guys can miss that much time and go out there and play the next 16 weeks or whatever it's going to be and be effective. Like, everybody, I talked to Nick Bosa last year. He's as good as there is. He missed all the camp, all the offseason, and he said it affected him all year long. And that's Nick Bosa. So I'm not comparing Nick to Hassan, but you miss camp and you miss the offseason and you miss, you know, it's a brand new team. It's a new system. It's a new way of doing things. It's not going to be smooth. I just don't, even if they get him in the building, I mean, he's got ability for sure. But even if they get him in the building, I don't know how much you can count on him right now.
Doesn't sound like Baldy's too high on the Jets. No. I look forward to having you on each week, Baldy.
Well, look, I don't want just one game. I don't want to like dismiss the Jets. I think, you know, the one thing they couldn't do last night, they couldn't stay on the field. Like, you got to stay on the field to get into your offense. That's the one thing the 49ers did, is they kept converting third downs. And it was a variety of ways. The quarterback was awesome, the run game, the whole thing. But you've got to stay on the field to get into your playbook, to start getting any kind of a rhythm, to get the running game going, to get, you know, Aaron into a rhythm, to get, you know, to start to see what the defense is doing or not doing. When you're three and out and you're going to the bench, you really, it's hard to kind of think what you can do and how you can work your offense against them if you can't stay on the field. And, you know, maybe this week, Tennessee, like, maybe they can do that this week.
Oh, they better be able to do that. Solomon's going to fix it. They better fix it in a hurry. How about the Giants, Baldy? I was actually surprised at how pathetic the Giants looked week one out of the gate at home against the Vikings. What do you see specifically from the offense? You know, Dable takes over play calling. They have neighbors. We've heard about the improved offensive line. Daniel Jones is healthy. I can't take watching Daniel Jones myself anymore in year six. I feel like I know what he is. What did you see from the film from the Giants on Sunday?
It was awful. It was, I mean, there's just no way to sugarcoat any of it. No, it was just bizarre, though. Like, Malik Nabers, I think, has a chance to be a star. But it took 14 plays into the game to even attempt a pass to him. Like, how can you not get the ball to your best player before 14 plays go by? And we know all the things that happened in the first 14 plays. I mean, it was ugly. But they weren't good up front. They couldn't run it. Daniel Jones... The one thing a quarterback has to do, you saw it from Brock Purdy last night, you saw it from Aaron, you have to throw the ball with anticipation. You have to trust that the receivers are going to be where they're supposed to be. And you got to, if you wait, you're either going to end up scrambling and you're not going to get anything like they didn't, or they're going to defend the pass. And then if you're going to wait till you're sure about the guy's open, you better stick it to where the defender isn't. And once, and he wasn't accurate with it.
No.
So it was not a good performance from Daniel. It just, there's no way to look at it any other way. Now, the play calling wasn't good. The offensive line wasn't good. All the other things that we see, you know, for way too long, you saw it all last on Sunday.
Yeah, it was a big issue. And that was, you know, basically a pick'em game. Vikings by a point or so, whatever it was. Giants at home. They were booing, you know, three plays into the game. But I got to follow up, Baldy. We talk about the 14 plays that it took to get Nabers the ball. Was that, and I know you cut up every single snap, is that Jones having a potential window for Nabers and not going for it? Or was that just, it wasn't called and there was nothing there?
Well, it's hard to speculate, and that's all I would be doing. You know, I don't know what the progression is. I mean, none of us would know that. Only Brian and Daniel probably know it. But regardless, I mean, there's ways to get the guy a ball without, you know, trying to figure out what the progression is. I mean, he's your, I don't care if it's a hit screen. I don't care if it's a handoff. Like, put the ball in the guy's hands one way or the other. Like, it shouldn't even be difficult. The guy has to touch the ball. Like, he's just, he's the one difference maker that they have in the whole offense. Like, he has to touch it.
We're talking with Brian Baldinger, BT and Sal on the Fan. We talked about, you know, the Jets and their defense. You said you need three pass rushers. Well, the Giants, you know, we were told, obviously we know Dexter Lawrence and what kind of havoc he can wreak up front. They traded for Brian Burns and they had Kayvon Thibodeau, who, well, I think was still underwhelming a year ago, put up sack numbers. And I watched the game, Baldy, and I didn't see him. You watched the film afterward. Did Kayvon Thibodeau play?
Well, I mean, anybody that went up against Christian Darrisaw got shut out. I mean, he was awesome, the left tackle. Now they rewarded him to be one of the best left tackles, and he played like it. Like, he pitched a shutout against both Burns and Thibodeau all day long. I mean, he just basically stopped their feet from moving. Like, it was so impressive. Dexter Lawrence, you know, made a couple plays, as Dexter can do. I mean, he dominated their center. But it was not a good performance on any level from their pass rush. I mean, you know, Sam Darnold goes out there and completes his first 12 passes in a row. You can't disrupt that guy at all. And then the play calling was superb by Kevin O'Connell. I mean, the pump and dump where they're, you know, putting Justin Jefferson in the backfield and they use him as a decoy.
That was pretty.
To get the ball to Jalen Naylor. I mean, it's a beautiful play. And, you know, I mean, Adoree Jackson, they're all biting on Justin Jefferson. I get it, but it's a, you know, it's an old college play, pump it and dump it. They got behind the Giants there. I mean, it's a great play call. It's a great use of Justin Jefferson.
Brian, final thing, and it's Brian Baldinger again, BT and Sal on the Fan. So as the Giant fan picks up the pieces from week one and starts to regenerate a little bit enthusiastically approaching week two, eventually they'll get there enthusiastically. Just, I guess, 1 through 53, just broad assessment of the rosters. I feel like the Commanders have more talent than the Giants, but, you know, you're studying it deeper. Am I right or am I wrong?
I think they have more talent, especially on, defensively, they don't have the two pass rushers the Giants have,
yep,
but they have a pretty good scheme. Joe Witt Jr. and Dan Quinn are pretty good at doing that. But honestly, Baker just carved them up on Sunday. I mean, he was barely touched. He had almost a perfect game, throwing four touchdown passes. I mean, look, Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, like, just carved the Commanders up. So, I mean, I would say there's opportunities there to get behind that defense.
Okay.
And to make some plays, for sure.
Nice. All right, there you go. All right,
and I think it would help. I mean, no offense to the Giants here, but actually, those uniforms were unwatchable. So I don't know. I mean, I know they're celebrating 100 years of football. I get it. But it's hard to feel like you're going to – I don't know. Maybe it's just the way it looked on Sunday – the uniforms didn't help.
Yeah, yeah, all right. I don't care what they wear, Baldy. I can't watch Daniel Jones, period. I mean, that's the problem to me, but the uniforms didn't help.
They were definitely interesting. Help. All right, Baldy, get back to splicing up get back to splicing up that film, buddy. We will talk to you next Tuesday.
All right. You got it, guys. Take care.
There you go.
It's
a pretty ominous assessment of our football heroes.
Now, again, he's watching the football. He's watching the individual film based off of two bad games. He's not projecting moving forward or anything like that, but it was obviously ugly for each team.
Yeah, but he did project that the Jets have they're down a horse and that he thinks the defense might be a little overrated. Thinks the Commanders might have a little more talent overall than the Giants.
Yeah, it was ugly for both sides of the ball. I can't wait to talk to him more, too, about around the league. But today, we needed to hit both those pathetic performances. You know, specifically the pathetic performance from the Giants. And then last night, of course, the Jets defense not showing up.
All right, let's get back to those Jet calls coming out. A little baseball as well this hour. BT and Sal take you up until 2. Then it's Evan and Tiki. And that was the Odyssey NFL Insider spot with Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider Calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day, be delicious.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.